Welcome to the Next Gen Podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are your hosts, Bryson Wright and Alex Winton. They got next, so let's get to the show.
Hello and welcome into the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And it's a big week, obviously, on this show, because for the first time in a couple months, we have actual basketball to talk about on this podcast, as the Grizzlies have finally started their preseason games, two wins versus the Bucks and the Pacers. There's a lot of stuff that you can really get into, and we're going to get into everything you could possibly think of for these first two preseason games from top to bottom of the roster. But we got to start with Jaren and Bane. So obviously everybody knows coming into the season, Ja Morant's going to be suspended. So the Grizzlies are going to be looking to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane to kind of take their offense to like a different level, just because they're going to have to be making up for so much of what they're going to be missing with Ja early on. And I think that so far, both of them have proven that they're ready for that. Obviously, it's preseason. There's a lot of different stuff. You know, they haven't been playing their normal amount of minutes that they would play in the regular season. But just looking at the stats, I mean, Desmond Bane has had two really solid games. I mean, that game against the Pacers, I felt like he played really well to start off. I mean, he had 17 points. He didn't shoot the ball as well from three in that first game, but then he turned right around in that game versus the Bucks and had an even better game. So, you know, I'm not worried about his jumper or anything like that because of some preseason games. I think we saw the same thing last year. But 21 points in that second game, 4 out of 6 from three, and then 5 rebounds and 5 assists too, which I think that's going to be really important for him to kind of be that secondary ball handler, especially because it'll probably be Marcus Smart starting at point guard. Hopefully he'll be healthy by then and he'll be able to start for the first game, but they're still going to need somebody as a secondary ball handler. And I think that Desmond Bane has proven that he can do that. And I think he's shown that a little bit in preseason too. And then moving to Jaren, I just think that the way that Jaren has been moving just in general, he's just looked way better to me. I feel like, especially offensively with his drives look much more intentional, I'd say. He still had a couple of offensive fouls in that first game, but it feels like he's learned a little bit. Like, he's gotten better at picking and choosing when to drive, when to pass, when to do stuff like that. Just the stuff you get as you kind of mature in the league. And I think he's gotten a lot better at that. And I think you've seen that in both of these games. Had 18 points in the first game. And then still on defense, 5 blocks against the Pacers. And then 3 blocks against the Bucks. So he's just continued everything that you need from him on the defensive end. He hasn't really been in foul trouble. I think he had a little bit of foul trouble that first game, but he wasn't playing his full amount of minutes, so it wasn't really sure exactly how much that would have affected it if he was playing the full amount, but didn't have to worry about that in the second game. And I feel like he's been better about the types of fouls he's been getting. I feel like he's had more, you know, fouls at the rim and stuff like that, with instead of, you know, somewhere you're trying to go after a rebound 90 feet away from the basket, stuff like that. So I think that that's a good sign to kind of start early on. But yeah, just overall, I like what I've seen from a lot of the guys on the team, but starting with those two, I think that they're going to have a lot asked of them early on. And I'm just glad to see that they're taking that challenge really seriously from the beginning, even in preseason.
Yeah, they got to set the tone. And I mean, as you know, they said last year, I bring up exit interviews all the time, but like they said, like it made it clear, like the three guys of this franchise are Ja, Jaren, and Bane. And so with Ja being out, it puts a lot more on their shoulders to be leaders, not only on the floor, but off the floor as well. But like in terms of production, I mean, what they did, I expected them to do. Like you said, through the first two games, I think Bane's averaging, I'm looking at right now, 19, and then Jaren's basically averaging 18. And they're both shooting pretty efficient. I think Jaren, obviously, from three, he struggled the first game, but they were good looks. But like you said, like they're basically doing what they did last year, just in smaller minutes because they're not playing full minutes. They're only playing the first half and then, like, a little bit the third quarter. But, I mean, they look fine to me. Like, they look like all-star level players. Like you said about Jaren, I think I said it on Twitter. His drives look a lot more poised and like patient. Like And like you said, he kind of knows where he's going. He's not really in a rush. Like he said, like I think he even said, like, you know, he wants to be more slow on his drive, not in the sense of like being slow, but like just not being in a rush. Like, no need to be in a rush with a lot of stuff. I mean, I think you obviously see that. And again, obviously being the defender as he is, and stuff like that. I think the playmaking, like you said, has kind of gotten better. The numbers don't really show it. I think he's only averaging 2 assists, but like some reads that he was making were stuff where I think last night, I think he had a drive where somebody stepped in front of him, and usually that would have been a charge, but I think he kicked out the Rose. But Rose didn't make the shot, but I like the process because he's finding the open man more. And so, you know, stuff like that will lead to like a hockey assist down the line. So that was really good to see. Bane obviously looked good. I think he struggled a little bit shooting the ball wise first game, but I mean, the most of the team has struggled shooting the ball early, but it's preseason, not really worried about that. And then Bane really got going the second game and the first game too. But like he looks the same. He looks healthy. I say that. That's really what I care about, guys. I don't really care about the numbers per se. Obviously, the numbers are there to provide context, but I care about the eye test. How do you look? Like, are you moving well? And for – I know Jaren was going to move well because he played in the summer, but obviously Bane's coming off the surgery, so we kind of expect – like, we didn't know what to expect, you know, how he looked. Like, the step backs look a lot more clean and smoother just because, you know, he's – the toe's healthy. So, yeah, they set the tone. You know, I think that's kind of the thing. Like, I you know, they showed me that, hey, like, they're going to be able to carry the load offensively because, again, like, Bane was at 20 – basically an all-star level player before he injured his toe. He's at, like, 24, 25 a night. Jaren – post all-star break was at like 21, 22 at night. So it wouldn't surprise me if both of them averaged that early on in the first 25 games without Ja Morant, especially with the offense kind of being tweaked now. And even though it hasn't really been tweaked that much in the sense, I think they're just starting to run their stuff through them now more consistently versus them just being in free flow action and not, you know, just, you know, it basically being like whoever offense for somebody else versus like, hey, we're playing through you guys. Like there's a lot more actions and sets for those guys. So I think that's really the big difference. But yeah, no, they play well. Like they, you know, I expect this from these guys. So yeah.
Yeah. And then you mentioned Jaren's playmaking and saying like, I know he's only averaging 2 assists, but that's twice as many as he averaged last year. Like, you know what I mean? He only averaged 1 assist per game. So if you're talking about like a playmaking jump, like 2 assists a game is a significant jump from 1. Like, I mean, he's doubling his assists. Now, I don't know if he's going to do that the whole season, but like, I like what you said about the reads that he's been making. And I think we got to see a little bit of that starting with Team USA, which is one reason why I think, you know, Team USA was still a big thing for him, even though it didn't end the way they wanted it to. I think you kind of started to see some of that progression in Team USA, and he's brought that over. But yeah, like you said, they're both going to be all-star level players. I wouldn't be surprised if one or both of them make the all-star team. It might be a little bit harder for Bane just because it's hard at the guard spot just overall. There's so many really good guards in the NBA. Not to say there's not a lot of good bigs too, but I feel like, you know, Jaren's already been an all-star, so he kind of already has that precedent. Whether or not people thought he should have been isn't really the point. You know, it's picked – the reserves are picked by the assistant coaches, not by, you know, the media and stuff like that. And I feel like being – picked by coaches, I think Jaren and Bane will both have a better job to be an all-star reserve and something like that, just because, you know, it's not as much about popularity and stuff like that. So I think that that's going to help them a lot. And just early on, I feel like if they win games, all of that's going to come, right? If they win games early on, all the other stuff is going to come with it. So if they're top 4 in the West, there's no way they don't have at least one all-star at the all-star break. That's the way I kind of feel. So I think either one of them will have a chance. And I just think that the way they've played in preseason is really setting the tone for everything they need to do for the rest of the year. Another guy that I feel like has set the tone a lot is Derrick Rose. And I know I talked about it coming into the preseason, is that people were underrating how much the Derrick Rose signing was actually about basketball. They were just acting like he was just going to be in the locker room and basically being like an assistant coach. Like, that's what a lot of people were acting like the signing was. And if you look at the way he played these first 2 preseason games, obviously his preseason got a lot of more stuff to come after this. But he does not look like a dude that's there to sit on the bench. In that first game, I thought he had a really good game overall, especially he was really aggressive offensively. He finished with like 13 points, and I feel like he did a good job of getting his teammates involved as well. But then in that second game, even though he didn't score as much, it really felt like he was putting on kind of like a playmaking clinic. I mean, he had, I think, 7 assists in that second game. And you keep in mind, it's 7 assists, and he only played 20 minutes. You know what I mean? So, and there's a possibility now with Marcus Smart. Now, we know that Marcus Smart is supposed to be back for the first regular season game, but it's not 100% sure. So there's a chance that Derrick Rose is the starting point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies open at night. Like, there is a possibility. And as much as I hope Marcus Smart is going to be healthy, after seeing these first couple games, I would not be worried about it as I would have been coming into the preseason. Just because I've seen the way Derrick Rose has looked. And it's not necessarily just that he's scoring or that he's passing. It's the way that he looks physically, too. Like, he looks like he doesn't look like he's 35 years old, right? 35 years old and has been through all these injuries and stuff. You think maybe he has lost a step. Whereas, has he lost a step from MVP Rose? Yes. But MVP Rose was so far ahead of everybody athletically that even him losing a step, he's still quicker off the dribble than most of the dudes he's going to be going with. And I think that's really what you've seen, is where it's not as explosive as it was when he was younger, but he's still quick. It's still really effective. Like, that quick first step stuff is still there. And I think we've seen a lot of that on his drives. And obviously, you know, he's not going to go up and dunk on people like he once did, but he's gotten really good at finishing around the rim with the floater and just stuff like that, and finishing under the rim instead of, you know, over the rim like he did when he was a little bit younger. So it's really like, I really feel like this version of Derrick Rose is almost like a completely different basketball player. Like, it's like a completely different guy, but you still see the flashes of like what he was at that time. But I still think that the version he's at now is like more mature, more poised, more patient, using basketball IQ, kind of conserve, not like learning when to, you know, have that burst of speed and when to kind of slow it down. Like, I feel like he's really mastered that at this stage of his career. And I think the Grizzlies really did need somebody like that. It's similar to how Tyus Jones played. I think it's very similar to Tyus. But I just think it's something that the Grizzlies were going to need once Tyus was gone, is like, who is going to be that backup point guard who's going to come in and steady the second unit. And after these first couple preseason games, I really think Derrick Rose can be that guy. Not only when Ja is out, there's a lot of people that were like, oh, Derrick Rose is going to play when Ja is out, then he's just going to move to the bench. I don't know if I can say that the way he's played. Like, this looks like he might be the Grizzlies' backup point guard for the whole season. If he stays healthy and everything, and he keeps playing the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, obviously it's early, but I do feel like my take from last week is kind of aging a little bit well. And I wasn't saying like it's crazy. I was just basically saying, like you said, people are underrating the signing in a sense, like, because I think people saw the signing and felt like they looked at, like I said, you can look at the numbers, but you got to provide them with context. They saw Rose's last year's numbers and saw that he shot like maybe like 38% from the field, 30 from three. Like, they were, you know, it wasn't great numbers, but you got to look like he only played like 12, 13 minutes and then only played like 25 games. And then when you go actually look at the box scores, majority of those games were in blowouts. So, and again, basketball is a rhythm sport. If you're only playing at the end of the game, you're not going to have any rhythm. So if you go back to the year before that, he was actually pretty good. And the year before that, he's pretty good. Now, again, I'm not saying I wouldn't say he's going to average like 14 points. I don't expect that. But like you said, with him, I expect him to play, and I expect him to give you anywhere from around like 8 to maybe like 10 at points at least sometimes, you know, a night. And then, you know, obviously have like 4, maybe 5 assists and basically score and playmate. Because again, defensively, he hasn't really defended well this preseason, but I'm not really caring about that because again, he's a vet and that might change a little bit in the regular season. But even if it doesn't, that's not his role. To me personally, is for him to score and playmate. You got enough defense. I think they're just like, hey, you score, playmate, and be a leader on this team, like a vet. And that's what he's done. In the first game, he's really good. You know, obviously, he was getting to the floater, like you said. That's really been his bread and butter. Like you said, he's a much different player than obviously before the injuries. But I think that's why he talked about it immediately. Like, he had to change all – he had to be in all these different roles. So now, you know, he knows he can be in a different role. Like you said, if he has to start, he can start potentially. Like, he's been in that role. he has to come off the bench, he come off the bench. And if he has to not play, he would be cool with that too. Like he said, he's here for that. Like he can adapt to anything. So, you know, I think personally, obviously, you know, in terms of him playing, like I think he's going to play. The only way he doesn't is we'll get to it, obviously, with the wing players. But if one of the wing players is like makes a real big leap, that's maybe the one time I can see that change in certain things, how rotations go. But I think he's going to play when Ja gets back. Like, I think that's probably going to happen because even if Smart, you could say Smart can play the point guard, I think they would probably like to play Smart more as a secondary ball handler than like a main ball handler at times. And they could still put Rose in there and spot miss and play him next to Smart. I could see that potentially happen as well. So, but like you said, the real also key thing is he has looked healthy. Like, that's a really big thing I looked at. I didn't really care about the numbers. Like, again, it's preseason. But, like, he just looks healthy. Like, that's really what I care about with Rose. Because Rose has been in situations where he's, you know, played well, but he's only played 10, 15 games because he couldn't stay healthy. So that's really what I care about is him being healthy. And I think him being in a limited role is good for him health-wise because that doesn't put a lot of wear and tear on his body. I mean, I was impressed with Rose. I'm happy that he's playing well, especially at Memphis being back. I really think he's going to contribute to this team a lot, more than people was giving it credit for. I'm glad that he's playing well. Hopefully this translates to the regular season. This is not just, just some preseason fluke stuff, but I don't think it will. Because, again, this is stuff that I've seen with Rose over the last 3 or 4 years, watching as just, a fan. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And then kind of moving on from D Rose too, I didn't want to talk a little bit about Steven Adams just because he's only played one game. But the main thing for me was just seeing that he was healthy. And I think just from the way he looked in that first game, you could tell that he looked the same as he did before the injury. He was getting up and down the court pretty well. He had that nice dunk off of the pick and roll with Derrick Rose. And just doing all the normal Steven Adams stuff, setting good screens. Had a nice offensive putback as well, grabbed some good rebounds and everything like that. And like I said, he only played 12 minutes, so it's kind of hard to really evaluate all that. But that's why I said, I think that these next couple of games, we can evaluate Steven Adams a little bit more. But the main thing for me was that he looked healthy, and that's all you can really ask for at this point. I think over this next preseason game when they play the Hawks, I think he might play a few more minutes. Just because he didn't play in that last game and they want to get him ramped up like going into the regular season. So he played 12 minutes in the first game. I'd expect him to play 17, 18 in the next game if he's playing, just to kind of continue to kind of ramp him up. And then maybe in that last preseason game, get him over 20 minutes and kind of see how he reacts to that. But all things have sounded like Steven Adams is healthy and the training staff and everything has said that just everything's looked good so far in the minutes he's played. So that's the main thing about Steven Adams. I also wanted to talk a little bit about Luke Kennard. He started the first game, didn't start that second game, has kind of been struggling to shoot the ball, but that's one of those things that I'm not worried about Luke Kennard's ability to shoot the basketball. That's the one thing I'm not worried about. Like, he's going to be fine. He has to get in a rhythm. And I really like the way that he played in that second game against the Bucks. And I do feel like as much as because we're going to get into it with this fifth starter stuff coming up soon, as much as I feel like he could be really good as the fifth starter, I just feel like him as that punch off the bench is going to be really good for the team overall. So even though I am somebody who's been like, okay, I'd be fine with starting Bane and Kennard, and I still would be fine if that is the starting lineup with both Bane and Kennard out there. But I feel like just these first couple of games, it's kind of seemed like he needs to be like that bench guy, like the spark plug off the bench more than with that starting lineup, especially because they're going to need that offensive punch off the bench as well.
Yeah. To start with Adams, that was really the biggest thing. Like you said, he looked healthy. I think Rose had a pocket pass on me. He dunked it. Like, I was like, okay. Like, I was kind of surprised by that. Just, you know, just because I wasn't even surprised he's playing anyway, if I'm going to be honest, because the way they was talking, Jenkins, Steven Adams, they was talking like, see, like, again, the Grizzlies do this, so I should have known. They be talking like it's real bad, and then it really ain't that bad. They just like to make it sound that way. And so it was like, oh yeah, Steven Adams like, it'd be foolish to say I could play on the for opening night or blah blah blah. And then you got Jenkins talking about we'll see how he responds. And this man went out there, played all right. You know what I mean? Like he rebounded, like he did what he needed to do. Look healthy. Now I will say over the course of the season, I definitely could see them resting him. I don't think he'll play back to back. So I think that's kind of the thing they'll probably do now is you will probably see Adams play, but I think his either minutes will be not cut down, but like, you know, like I could see the use of being lower. Maybe there might be some games where, you know, they got like 4 games and like 6 nights. Like, you know, they might do something like that. Like they might do something where they, you know, sit him a couple games or something like that. But outside of that, like, I think he's going to be able to play. You know, like you said, they might play him again the next game. It really just depends on if Jenkins is – I will – again, we're going to get to the fifth starter stuff, but, like, Jenkins is talking about the fifth starter stuff. I think that plays a part in it because he wants that guy to get a chance to get reps with the starters, so he might play the starters again. So I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, yeah, Adams looked healthy, you know, which is a good sign for us. Obviously, he brings a lot to this team, obviously from a rebounding standpoint, getting the second chance opportunities, and especially in this preseason where – they're not making a lot of shots right now, which I'm not concerned about. It helps. So, you know, especially with a team that might try to still be figuring out some things offensively once the season gets started, always getting some more second chance opportunities is great. So, but as for Luke, I'm not really concerned about Luke. Like you said, dude's one of the best shooters in NBA. Well, it literally NBA history, like percentage wise, like I'm not worried about like this preseason. Like I said, it's preseason. I will not overreact to preseason. I said that last week. When I do it, I'm not going to do it now. Luke looks fine. He just needs to get rhythm. All these looks are open. It's not like he can't get no separation. It's not like he's not getting the same look. Like they're fine. He's going to be fine. And like you said, that's really been my biggest thing is I agree with you. Like I much rather want him off the bench than in the starting lineup because on the bench, I think you give him – like you give that bench like some scoring. And it's kind of like with BC last year, like I said before, like, I think BC could start, but like in the right situation, but like they like him better off the bench and being able to play him off the bench and him give a spark. And it worked. It has worked when he was healthy. So I think they're trying to do that same thing with Luke. So, you know, I think he's in the running. I think like, you know, if one of the kids get hurt, like the wings get hurt or they don't play up to the standard, Jenkins could start him. But I think Jenkins is probably leaning towards one of the younger wings to start and then keeping Luke on the bench. But it's not like Luke's not going to play minutes. Like, he's still going to probably play starter minutes at some times. Like, just because he doesn't start doesn't mean he might not finish the game, you know? It really just depends on what the game presents. But, yeah, no. I mean, I think Luke looked fine. But I'm really happy that Adams looked healthy. That's really the key. And I do like that they got to finally play together because they didn't get to play together last year because Adams went down. So, them getting reps is key because Luke's going to get open off those screens. Bane's going to get open off those screens. And like Adam said, it's just creating a lot more space for them offensively. Especially with the tweaks that they made to the offense.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, like, yeah, I'm not worried about Luke shooting the ball and everything. He's going to be fine. I think he's going to be really good for this team just overall. And I mean, I think he had a really good game in that second game and looked a lot better. I think just as the season goes on and he gets into a rhythm, this is a dude that shoots 50% from three last year. Like he shot almost 50%. I think it was like 49.something% from three last year. So, like I said, I'm not worried about it to start. But kind of to keep moving on, I know we said it last week, but the biggest question is going to be who's going to be the fifth starter for the Grizzlies at the beginning of the season. And we talked a little bit about Luke Kennard. I said the other – so John Conchar started the first game. I do not think John Conchar is going to be the starting three on opening night. Now, not to say I have anything against John Conchar. I think John Conchar – is good in the role that he's in. I just don't think he should be a starter. Like he should not be a starter. He's the dude that is probably the 12th, 13th dude on a roster. Like that's kind of where he should be. That's just what I feel. Now, when he's out there, he does his best, but I don't think he's going to be the starter, right? And when you see Zaire, the way Zaire played in that last game, the way that Roddy and LaRavia played in that last game as well, I thought all three of them played really well. I could see any of them being with the starters, I would probably lean towards Zaire just because he's more experienced. And then the way he looked in that second game, especially, had 10 points. He's and it's not always just about the stats with him. It's like, you know, he had 10 points, a couple assists and everything like that. But to me, it was really just the way that he looked on the court. Like he just looked more confident. especially in his jumpers. And even though he didn't hit all of them, obviously, a couple of them didn't go down. He started off really well, but kind of missed a couple in that second half. But I feel like that was kind of a product of who he was playing with too. So he was kind of trying to be more assertive. But when he's with that first group and all he has to do is just play defense, make open shots, he'll have some opportunities to have the ball in his hands a little bit, probably more with like those second groups. But if he's the, you know, the fifth guy in that lineup, I just think as long as he's out there and he runs the floor, plays defense, and makes his open looks, he'll be fine. And I just feel like he is the guy out of all those guys who is going to be the best at, you know, doing all those things, you know, running the floor, hitting the wide open shot. And I feel like even though Laravia, I think, probably is a better three-point shooter overall, I think that Zaire has a little bit more when it comes to, like, getting to the mid-range and putting the ball on the floor. I've really liked what I've seen from Zaire doing that, too. So, like I said, it obviously, I'm not ready to say anybody has the spot yet. I don't think anybody has just completely taken it over. But I do think that that second game from Zaire did put him in the lead for me to be the fifth starter. But I still look, you know, I think Roddy and Laravia, and then even Kennard also have a chance to be that fifth guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see either Roddy or Laravia start this game against the Hawks. Like, I would not be surprised at all. Coach Jenkins did say he was going to be a little bit different with his starting lineups, and he was going to try out a lot of different stuff in preseason. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that for this next game in Atlanta.
Yeah. I like what the Wings have, shown. For the most part, I think first game, I wouldn't say Zaire struggled, but he was kind of up and down. But I feel like they were, I think Roddy was pretty good, you know, decent. And then Jake was pretty decent. But, like, for me, I go back to what Jenkins keeps saying, and he continues to talk about the defensive end, talking about that fifth starter. And if we're talking about fifth starters and the Wings, it's going to be, I'm just going to say it's going to be Zaire. I mean, obviously it's early. Like, it still can change. But, like, he continues to keep saying defense is going to be the reason, like, the calling card of that fifth starter. We want somebody that can defend. We clearly seen Zaire be able to guard guys. Like, we've seen Zaire guard Steph Curry for possessions and be okay with that, like, and be able to guard him well. Like, no disrespect to Laravia or Roddy. They can't do that physically. Like, that's just not their game. Even though they can play defense, like, they just don't have the tools. Now, they're probably better options offensively. But if – and, again, this is all speculation. This is not me. I don't know the coach's staff. I can't talk to the coach staff. This is me looking from afar. What I think is that I think they want to probably start Zaire off, obviously off of the simple fact of, like you said, he's got more experience, but also they've invested more in him. Like, he was the 10th pick for a reason. Like, they want to give him the more opportunity anyway. Not to say those other guys don't deserve more opportunity, but, like, that's probably, like, they're going to want to give that guy the opportunity, especially if he's healthy and confident, because they've seen what he could do, even if it was for a short stint. They could see what he's done before as a starter. Like, he's been good as a starter, as a connector guy, where all he has to do is just hit shots, play defense, and then do the other little stuff, you know, like, you know, making the right reads and, you know, attacking closeouts like he did, like, I think last night, a couple, like, he had that dunk, like, you know, being able to attack the closeout. I think a couple times he got to the mid-range, played out the pick and roll sometimes on the secondary action. Like, so, like, that's – I think he's probably going to be that guy because of that, like – again, like, the shots was, you know, again, they want him to make shots, but, like, I think they feel confident enough that if the starting lineup is obviously Smart, Bane, Jaren, and Adams, and then you have Zaire, they're confident that lineup probably is going to be, like, they're going to call, their calling card is going to be defense. Like, off, they feel like they got enough offensively in that lineup. When you got Baron, or you got Bane, and you got Jaren, and then you got Smart being able to score a little bit, Adams obviously getting second chance points, and if Zaire can just basically make open shots, I think they feel like they're good enough offensively. So that's why I think they lean towards more defense, which is why I think Zaire is in the lead. But I do think Jake would probably be, you know, is Jake and Roddy obviously for that second spot in terms of, like, playing in that rotation is going to be very close, because I think both those guys, like Jake, especially in the last couple games, or like the last couple games, like, he's been really just good. Like, it took him a while to get going, but then once he starts going, he starts really getting in a rhythm. So, and obviously with Roddy, he's playing more early, but still, like, it's just kind of neck and neck, because it's like, I don't really see a separation between those two. It's like, who's making more shots, who's providing more offense, is basically probably what it's going to be. But I think that's probably the harder choice for Jenkins at this point, at least in my opinion. Now, if Jake, like you said, they start Jake or they start Roddy and they look good with the starters, that makes that decision even harder. But I think that's a good problem to have. You would much rather have a problem where you can't figure out who to start because all of them playing so good versus, okay, well, we know that that dude's going to play well because the other two play bad. Like, you know what I mean? So I think this is a good problem to have. But, yeah, I'll probably put Zaire as that fifth starter. I just feel kind of confident just based off of what Jenkins continues to keep saying. That's kind of where I'm going off of. It could change, but, I mean, yeah, I expect him to start. And, again, it'd be good for my agenda to start. You know, biased involved, that would be good for my agenda to start, but or for him to start. But, like, if he doesn't, it's okay. But, yeah, I think that's where it's going or where it's heading, which is I think it's cool. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I think the same. I think that just overall, I have liked the way Jake LaRavia has finished the games just because he's kind of in a different role. So he's actually been the only one of these guys that's really, I feel like, been on the court at the end of both of these games. And in that Pacers game, obviously, he had the poster dunk at the end that was awesome. He hit a three late in the Bucks game that was kind of like maybe didn't seal the game, but it put them up by like 10 with like 2 minutes left. So it was one of those things where it felt like a really big shot. And those are the things that I have liked about LaRavia. When he put the ball on the floor, he has done that a little bit. And I think he's looked pretty good just overall. So not to say that I don't think LaRavia has a chance. I mean, I think all these guys still do have a chance to make a claim for this over these next couple preseason games. But yeah, like I'd agree that right now I'd start with Zaire, and then that Roddy and LaRavia decision is going to be really interesting to see who ends up getting more minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if they both play. But at some point, like, there's only so many minutes you can give out to everybody. And then as we continue to talk, because I did want to talk about a little bit more, just one more position group before we move on to some interesting rankings that we are going to talk about. But I got to talk about the power forwards, kind of like the Tillman, Aldama, and Lofton Jr. kind of situation. Because I know there's a lot of people that really like Lofton, and I think Lofton is a really good player. And I think offensively, he might be like he might be the better option. I'd say that between him, Aldama, and Tillman, he's the better offensive player. Just if you're talking about who's going to score the most points if you play them on a nightly basis, I'd say Lofton's probably the best offensive player. But it's just, I feel like sometimes there's just things that both Tillman and Aldama do that are better for the role the Grizzlies need him to play. So I think that's really the big thing is that, you know, Santi is more of a catch and shoot guy. He doesn't necessarily have to have the ball in his hands to score. I think that him and Lofton are both good as, like, you know, offensive rebounders. And even Tillman, I think they're all good, like, offensive rebounders. But then just on the defensive end, I mean, Tillman is a much better defender. I'd say, yeah, Tillman's a better defender than both Aldama and Lofton, like, not even close, I don't think. I think he's the best defender besides Jaren when it comes to the big men that they have. So defensively, he's going to get a nod. And I think Aldama's going to get a nod for defense and rebounding too. But I have liked what I've seen from Lofton, like, early this year too. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are certain games and certain situations where you do see him come in kind of for like an offensive burst and stuff like that. I just don't know if he's going to be a nightly rotation guy. But I think that Tillman and Aldama both are probably going to be nightly rotation guys. If not nightly, then like most nights, you know what I mean? There might be a couple matchups where Tillman might not play. But I feel like those guys are going to be in, especially just because of how the playoffs ended up too. And the fact that Brandon Clark is going to be out. I don't think there's any question that Aldama and Tillman are going to play a lot of minutes. And I think we're going to see more of Lofton this year than we saw last year, for sure.
Yeah. It's always interesting because I think the thing with Lofton, at least, or when I talk about Lofton, not that I don't think he can be a player. I just think, like you said, for what this roster needs, it's kind of a hard fit to kind of get him minutes when you're basically the fifth or sixth big when everybody's healthy because BC. And then, like, those other guys do certain things that are more required for this team better than the scoring part, than what, you know, which is Lofton's best skill, obviously. So it just kind of puts you behind the eight ball. But I do think there will be times where they did, I think last year, second half of the season when he finally got his contract, where they might throw him in a game just to see, like, you know, if he can bring a spark. And if he can bring a spark, then, hey, then he did his job. But I think it's going to be very hard, like you said. I think even though, again, I think Santi's kind of been vibing this preseason. I'm not going to lie to you. I think he's been out there kind of looking like rookie Santi, but I'm not worried about him. I think he'll be fine. I think he just got to get his, you know, his rust off. You know, like, even though he played this summer, I do feel like, again, like, some people just need more rhythm because, again, FIBA game is different than the actual NBA game. So I'm giving the benefit of the doubt for now. But he has been vibing. But even then, I still think he's still going to play. I mean, 7-foot guy that can shoot the ball, that has guard skills. Like, they're trying to play more five out. Like, that just makes more sense. And then, obviously, with X, was a starter last year in the playoffs, has been in big moments. Bet, better defender, better playmaker, which means your offense is going to move and flow better. So that's really what I think it'll come down to. Again, it's no really lofted. Hey, this is hard for me to see the minutes realistically. That's all it is. Like, it's just realistic. Being realistic, like, it's hard for me to see the minutes go anywhere else. Because, you know, some people will compare Lofton to, like, Roddy, Jake, and all them. Like, oh, he should get their minutes. But he's not a wing. He's a big. You know, you can't compare to, like, you talking about position groups. You can't compare. We're talking about a whole different position group. So, like, he's not going to get those minutes because that's not his position. So it's like, this is hard to find minutes, but you know, I hope that in spots where, especially if we got injuries, I definitely could see him having a role. Like, I think that's really the biggest thing is, like, you know, where Adams rest. And if Adams is resting and BC's still out, then you gotta kind of throw, I think, what, move Santi up to start lineup. Then you might have to play a Lofton and an X off the bench. Like, you could do that. So, you know, I could see stuff like that. But I really think Santi and X are really gonna play a majority of the minutes. But, I mean, still, it's been good to see Lofton play, all of them play. You know, I think X has been more open to taking threes. Now it's just about really making them. Obviously, with Lofton, I think he scored a lot of the buckets the first game last night. He didn't really score that much, but he did rebound decently and, you know, wasn't bad, like a crazy liability defensively. Wasn't too bad. Wasn't great neither, but, like, he wasn't too bad. So, yeah, I think, you know, I'm encouraged by it. You know, what I saw from all three, I guess, even Santi at spots. Just not the whole time, but yeah, I'm not really worried about any of them. I think it's kind of going to be the same thing we kind of saw last season.
Yeah, for sure. And then just to kind of wrap up the preseason thing, obviously Grizzlies are 2-0. Not necessarily worried about the record, but I think that has shown, especially in the second half, that their bench is better than what I think a lot of people were probably thinking. Just because when it comes to those preseason games, obviously the starting five and who you play at the beginning of the game is important. But most of the end of those games, most of the end of the game has been the bench guys. And I think there has been a lot of people that were worried about the Grizzlies bench. I think the Grizzlies bench has looked pretty solid, like, just overall in the preseason. And I think the teams looked good. And I think it just looks like everybody's healthy that's been playing. Everybody looks good that's, you know, out there right now. Hopefully they'll get Marcus Smart back before the season starts and everything like that so we can really evaluate him. But kind of moving on to the end of the show, we wasn't sure if I was going to talk about this. We really weren't sure if we were going to talk about it because I'm not a big rankings guy. I'm not a big, you know, beginning of the season, where do you rank, whatever. And honestly, usually this kind of stuff, I try to stay away from it. But when they dropped it this morning and they said that Ja Morant was the 35th best player in the NBA heading into the season. Now, I get it, right? He's missing 25 games. So that is going to drop him a little bit. But, like, and this is no offense to the players they had ahead of him. Like, they had a lot of good guys. Like, these are good players. But Lauri Markkanen is not better than Ja Morant. He's not better than Ja Morant. I don't care if he plays 40 more games than Ja Morant plays this season. He's not a better player than Ja Morant. And the fact that he's ahead of him is just, like, it's wild. Just like I said, sometimes I feel like they do release those rankings just for clickbait, and maybe this is us giving them what they want with this, but I really don't care because, dude, 35 is crazy. And then to say that there are 60 players in the NBA better than Desmond Bane, which, and this is the other thing, is they had Smart in front of Bane, which I don't think Smart is better than Bane either. Now, I get it defensively he's better, but it's like, dang, it's like, it's kind of just interesting to see how they even rank the players within the Grizzlies, because they had Smart ahead of Bane, they had Jaren ahead of Ja, and it's just like, that's not really, like, even coming into it, I knew Ja was probably going to drop. I wouldn't have been surprised if he had been like 20. Like, even if he had been like 20, I would have been like, okay, yeah, because he was 9 last year. You know what I mean? Like, they had him ranked in the top 10 last year, which may have been premature, whatever. But the fact that he went all the way from 9 to 35 really just threw me off. But yeah, I like I said, I try not to give the rankings too much, but when I see something like that, I feel like you gotta speak on it a little bit. This is a dude, there's only been 10 players in the history of the NBA that have had more 45-point playoff games than Ja Morant. But there are somehow 34 players in the NBA better than him right now. Like, that is just it doesn't sound right, man. It's crazy.
Oh man, this is funny. I saw those rankings as they came out over the past couple days. I ain't gonna lie to you, I already knew they was gonna be on some BS when I saw Bane's ranking. I was like, okay, now that kind of makes sense. 60 something, I'm like, okay. Because I put Bane around 40, you know, at least top 50. Anywhere from late 30s, high 40s, you know, mid 40s. I was like, okay, that's Brady's range. And then I was like, okay, well, my expectation, I'm like, all right, where they gonna put Jaren and Ja? You know, probably put Jaren somewhere in that 40 ranking, and they probably put, you know, Ja maybe in the top 20. Man, I tell you, when they I saw woke up this morning, I saw that, I was laughing. I saw not only they put Ja 35, they put Jaren to 30 or 31. And again, there was another article that came out, and I think we talked about it before we started, but the article was talking about the win projections, and you know, that's like based on more stats than it is players, and analysts talking about like what wins, you know, teams are gonna win games and stuff like that. But it's just funny to me. I tweeted about it. It's funny to me how you have the Grizz in that projection be number one, but then you have essentially based on this ranking, you have no top 30 players in the league. And again, I understand it's a whole different thing, but that should be more context provided between those things. Not only that, it's like you would think a team that finished top two in the West the last 2 years has at least two top 30 players, or at least one top 20 player, like two other top 40, 50 players. It was just funny to me, man. Like I said, I don't usually give a dang about rankings. Like, that doesn't really bother me. Like, it's just rankings. It's just people talk about who they think is better than who. Like, they think Paolo Banchero is better than Ja Morant. Like, most people like Paolo Banchero, but nobody's going to really say that. Like, especially after year one, like, nobody's going to say that. Like, so, and again, it's just funny. I find all those rankings funny. And obviously, Ja did too. He said something about those rankings. He was just laughing at them and, you know, taking note, which I think is obviously just adds more fuel to the fire for him. You know, I think he's going to come back and really just be locked in even more. But I think they even said in some quotes today, like, I think Jaren said something about it. Like, he didn't care about the rankings. He said they ranked LeBron at it, any, you know, 100 anyway. And then I think Bane had the best quote. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave it at this. He said, them rankings don't pay the bills. And that's all that matters. Them rankings don't pay the bills. They don't do nothing for them. It's just rankings for people, like you said, for people to talk about, get engagement, and talk about like we're talking about it. Like, and they're talking about it on Twitter now. Like, who's, oh, this dude's better than who? Why they do that? Like, that's the whole purpose of those rankings usually. So, it is what it is, man. It's nothing that's going to really bother me. Like, I really don't care. Like, I know where I got those guys ranked personally for me in the NBA echelon. Like, I'm not worried about ESPN rankings. Like, let's be serious here. Like, that's nothing. So, it's just, I just find it funny, man. I just find it funny. That's all.
Nah, it's definitely funny. Like, and that's what I try to say is, obviously, like, on social media and stuff, I'm going to push and be like, hey, they should be higher. But at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily matter, just like in the grand scheme of things. It's just seeing that was just crazy. Like, that really is what I thought. I was like, wow. Because the Ja thing, and this is what I will say, the Ja ranking is one thing. I think the one that threw me off more than anything was that Bane was as low as he was. Just because with Ja, they cited that it was more for off the court reasons, which, okay, whatever. If that's the reason, whatever, right? But with Bane, I mean, I guess unless you said it's because he was coming off of a surgery, like, maybe that's the only thing and they don't know if he's going to be healthy. But, like, dude, there's no way that they're, like, this is a guy who is already, for his career, has been one of the best three-point shooters in the history of the NBA in terms of percentage. On a team and in a league that is all about three-point shot making, and you're gonna say he's 61 in the league. It's like he's one of the most premier shooters in the league, right? And he's going to be averaging 22, 23 a game this year easily, I think. So obviously the rankings, whatever, like we said, it is what it is. I do think that Bane is going to be higher next year. That'll be the main thing. And I'm glad it's happening like this, and I'm glad Ja saw it. That's all I'm going to say, because that's just because he's the type of dude, because you know how it is, those dudes that come from like smaller schools, you know, he was unranked in high school, like all that. It's like you give them something to like to think about, like in your workout, like they got 34 dudes. They think 34 dudes are better than you every day. Just keep thinking that in your head. Just keep thinking that in your head, because I feel like when he comes back, it's going to be awesome to see, you know, the level of focus and the level of intensity he's going to be playing with.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's going to come out and just really be locked in. Like, and again, like, they don't obviously care. Like I said, with the quote, they don't really care about this stuff. Like Bane said, Bane got the best quote. That's an all-time quote right there. They don't pay the bills. Like, that's all-time stuff right there. I need that on video or something, because that's great. But that's a great quote. But yeah, I think it just really comes down to, like, it's nothing that they can control. Like, it's just somebody's opinion about their ranking in the NBA. And these guys are NBA players. They don't care about those. They care about that stuff, but only if it makes sense to care about it and if it helps them be better and, like, gives them fuel to drive them. Because, again, you got to be a little bit psycho to be an NBA player or just an athlete in general, one of these professional athletes. Like, they're a little bit – they think a lot different. So, like you said, Ja, he's going to remember this and he's going to use this. Like, he's a psycho, as he should be. Like, that's why he's so good. So, and also Jaren and Bane as well. But, like, you know, I'm not worried about it. I just found it funny, man. I woke up and saw that. That's probably one of the funniest things I saw today. I was like, I already knew the tone was set when I saw Bane's ranking. I already knew. I was like, oh yeah, they finna be on some BS for sure. I was like, that ain't nothing, man. I was like, okay, whatever, man. Like, it doesn't matter, bro. It's just gonna be funny because it's the same thing. They got us ranking Lillard. Outside of that projections thing, most people got us in play-in, you know, the main analyst. Then you got people talking about them not having guys ranked as high, like. They do this every year, man. And what do they do every year? Exceed expectations every year. So they're going to do the same thing. Why would they not get the benefit of the doubt? Who knows? Maybe because of the job stuff. Okay, cool. But, like, just wait. Just give it a month, man. We'll be back here in, like, a month or two. Probably, like, two. And we're just probably going to laugh about this stuff. It's just going to be very funny. That's all I'm going to say. I feel very good that this is all going to age very poorly. That's just what I believe. You know, if everybody's healthy. Let me say that. Everybody's healthy. Barren health, majority health, this is going to age very bad. So, for them. Not for us. For them. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's just going to be funny.
Nah, yeah. I agree. I mean, yeah. Some of those rankings might age pretty badly, especially if Bane plays the way that I think he's going to play. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a chance to be all-star, all-NBA level guy. So, I just think that if – like, that, I feel like it's going to end up really badly. But, like I said, with Bane and Jaren, they both were kind of laughing about it too. So, like I said, it's one of those things. It's funny. I think it's funny, that, like, just how low they really have regard to some of these guys and how they don't get the benefit of the doubt, like you said, like some of the other teams do. And even teams that have consistently done less get more of a benefit of the doubt than the Grizzlies do. That's what I'm ending with. That's what we ended the show with this week. There's a lot of teams that get the benefit of the doubt that shouldn't get it. And sometimes the teams that should get the benefit of the doubt don't get it. But that's all good. I appreciate everybody who listened to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I was joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And we'll see y'all next week, where we'll have even more Grizzly stuff to get to.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like and a comment wherever you download your podcasts. Head over to www.bluffcitymedia.co, where you will find comprehensive coverage of all things Memphis sports and how you can become an insider. We'll see you back here next time.